Hey, attainable listeners. It's your host, Amy Powell here. For those of you who are new to the Attainable podcast and don't know me yet, I am a life coach specializing in happiness. I help individuals identify what keeps you stuck and learn what makes you happy so that you can plan and live a joyful life on your terms. I truly believe your version of happiness is 100% attainable, and it's my mission to help you discover and live yours. You can learn more about me and follow my story on Instagram at attainable_AF. Look forward to seeing you there. Today, I'm speaking with Kim Motley, founder of Daily Modern Living in New York City. Kim is a writer, artist, and mindfulness teacher who helps others to embrace mindful living through daily moments that she demonstrates through blogs, poems, recipes, and photography on Daily Modern Living's online channels. In our conversation, Kim shares with us her life journey, what it means to be a meaningfulist, and how her life experiences have brought deeper passion, purpose, and overall happiness to her life. Let's dive into this conversation. Let's go. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Amy.
Welcome to the Attainable podcast. I'm really excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You and I do similar work in the sense of really trying to help people cultivate happiness and live a joyful life. And so I really thought it would be fun to have a conversation around how our work varies and how we talk to people and really have kind of manifested this life for ourselves that we now live by, and we help others really overall be content and happy and enjoy their life as much as they can. So I have been doing a lot of reading of yours online, on your website. You have your online journal, poems, recipes that you've created. I've been looking at your photography, and I'm also really loving and connecting with your daily discoveries. So I'd love for you to start the content that you've created, how this has all evolved, and maybe even take us back to, you know, have you always really lived with this life of really wanting to find fulfillment and purpose in life? Or was there kind of a catalyst moment where you realized that maybe the life you were living wasn't necessarily fulfilling you in ways that you wanted to make some shifts in your life to enjoy life more?
Sure. I would say the galvanizing moment for me was when my father was dying from cancer. I was his caregiver or patient advocate for 10 years, but when he went into hospice, it really forced me to find those little moments every day. So it's hard to practice gratitude when your loved one is dying, but I was able to every day say, I got a call from a friend. This other friend brought food. My dad made a joke today. And I even talked to him before he died about some of my passions, such as moving from North Carolina to New York. And he said, do it. And I realized in those 6 weeks that I was taking care of my dad in hospice, that life is short and there really are beautiful things to enjoy every single day. So before I was introduced to meditation and found my passion and purpose around mindfulness, I did spend a lot of time worrying. And we know that most of your worries don't manifest into the worst case scenario that you have in your mind. So it forced me to stay in the present and find those moments. And also, I've been a writer and artist my entire life, but I wasn't able to pull it all together until I embraced mindfulness. And through doing that, my mission or my purpose really came to light, which was to be a teacher and help others find their little moments every day. I feel like the word mindfulness is hard to wrap your mind around sometimes. You know, we see the Buddha, we see quotes, but what does that look like every day? So through my Daily Modern Living, I've been posting my mindful moments to help demonstrate and help others find there are moments.
I see all of what you said through the content that you're posting, because it really is these simple things in life. I love that you love basil. I do too. I see basil comes up in a lot in your recipes. It's those little things that can elevate to right. make it that much better, or allow yourself to celebrate
right.
that yeah. make the day so much better.
Little celebrations, you know, just walking to the park and seeing tulips. I remember one day, the beautiful tulips I saw a week ago were looking really frazzled. And I thought, that's how I feel with the pandemic right now, you know, but everything is temporal. And, you know, stop and look at your surroundings, because they're constantly in flux and in the flow, and we're changing and evolving as well.
We are. It is so true. It's so true. I'd love to hear about how you have started to add sections, if you will, to your website. When you think about someone's life, there's so many different elements to it. And I'm sure that you've had some type of evolution of, or, you know, of adding things to your website that you have been practicing, or interests of yours that you are then ready to share out with your audience. So talk about that of, you know, what did you start with? Yeah.
So my first element that I focused on was photography, which is really an extension of my passion for photography over the past 20 years. And then also out of a Pekachka presentation I did when I lived in Charlotte a decade ago, I discovered this common denominator between my photography and my jewelry, and both elements made people feel peaceful and beautiful. And so I'm starting to incorporate those into the sections on my website. The jewelry will be coming soon, but they're my gifts that I've decided to share with the world, along with being mindful and being in the present moment. For me, that also means surrounding myself with beautiful things, and also items that have meaning. So the photos, you know, if you look at a picture and it makes you feel calm, it reminds you of a vacation, that's very meaningful. At the same time with the jewelry, if you have a piece that symbolizes an intention or a passion of yours, or you just feel beautiful when you wear it, that's important too.
I think there's something to be said there for, you know, having these sentimental items around you, meaningful items around you. A lot of people have asked me, and I'll ask you the question too, of, are you a minimalist? Do you not like having a lot of clutter and a lot of things around you? And I think inherently, when you start to just have intentional items around you and things that are meaningful, we realize that a lot of the things that we have don't necessarily hold that sentimental purpose value. So we just inherently have less things when we start to shift, especially, you know, shift things out of our environments, being our home. And so do you feel like you've kind of embraced a more minimal lifestyle, now living with more meaning?
You know, I will make a joke at myself. I am messy. I'm a messy artist. So I would say I'm a meaningfulist. I only have items in my apartment that I absolutely love, but there's still a lot of stuff here. So, but I don't see it as clutter. They really are special. You know, I have my jewelry bench and probably 10,000 beads in a cabinet. I've got 500 books because I love to write and read, but I really do consume consciously, and I don't buy anything that doesn't bring me joy or have meaning.
And, you know, I'll give you credit, because it sounds like everything in your home you can make a case for, and, you know, you love it, or you'll use it one day, or just having it in your space is fulfilling to you.
Correct. Yeah.
I also want to key in on this photography that you're doing, jewelry, incorporating them and sharing them outward with the world. These two things, amongst other things that you do in your life, give you so much joy. and even more joy to be able to share them out in the world. And I think there's a lot of people who feel really unfulfilled in their lives because the work that they do does not allow them to share things that really make them happy and that they feel really proud of.
Right. I don't think you have to suffer. You know, it's okay to have a painting that you love in your space. You know, you don't get a prize for getting to the end of your life and saving all of your money and spending all of your time at work. There's space to beautify your surroundings and spend a little extra time doing things that you love. And for me, food is a language of love. And I absolutely love the way that people feel when they wear my jewelry. So being able to share that with the world makes me very happy.
I love that.
And then also making the jewelry with meaning. 10 years ago, I made jewelry. It was beautiful jewelry. People loved it. I was in 7 or 8 boutiques in the South. And I knew that it made people feel beautiful. But I feel like now that I've embraced mindfulness and meditation, I can also incorporate that meaning and intention into every piece.
I love that. How has the work that you do and teaching, and I love that word that you use of really demonstrating for others, because in a way that's the ultimate form of influence you're not telling anyone that, right, you know, do this or do that, or this is right or wrong, or, you know, the way that you're doing it, do it differently. It's more about really leading, really, right? Leading from a place of purpose and just overall confidence in what you're doing and sharing that light and love with the world. And I love also that you use the word gifts, of these gifts that you hold in you. Really, it's your overall presence and what your passions and gifts in the world that you can then share out with those around you.
And I did write an article on my site and also on Medium called Gifts and Lessons. And one of the things that my experience with my dad taught me is that we're here to share our gifts with the world, but we also learn lessons in the process. And this is an evolution. It's not a one-stop shop. So as we learn our lessons, and caregiving taught me to ask for and accept help, I didn't have to do this all alone, but it brought me to my knees to be able to understand that. And then I also realized that you can also help others. I can offer my assistance to friends who are caregiving, or just, you know, just because, without them having to ask. And also, just through sharing your gifts and learning your lessons, we evolve into better versions of ourselves.
Let's talk about that. So if, because I 100% agree, when people are starting to do this work and to really focus in on what fulfills them, what are some things that people can really start to think about? And I'm starting to come up with some things that I would say to this too, but what are some things that people can start to think about in terms of owning that inner wisdom and owning that inner truth?
I think the answers are, they're hiding within you. So it's that thing that you love to do. I looked back on my past 49 years in an abstract way to figure out that I'm really a teacher. You know, I don't work in a school, I'm not teaching a classroom, but through my IT consulting work, my work with meditation, and just people, be they friends or colleagues, reaching out for guidance, I realized that I'm a teacher, and I usually demonstrate instead of telling people you should do this or that, because it's so subjective. mindfulness. So what does it look like to you? And our gifts are different, you know. For me, it's cooking. That's my language of love. It's also bringing calm to a situation, you know, be it software development, or I've had several friends call to ask for advice when their loved ones were dying. So if you just take a step back and look at the things that you like to do and that people call on you for, you'll find those gifts. And you'll also discover how you make people feel. That's a very good indicator of what your gifts are.
Was there ever a time or multiple times in your life where your path was guiding you towards teaching and you remember not choosing that path? And I ask this because I think there's a lot of times in life where certain circumstances are guiding us towards these things, but either out of fear or really wanting something else in that moment, we kind of don't listen to that inner intuition. And I'm wondering if you have had any experiences like that.
Yeah, I think because I was a great warrior before finding meditation, and just from my technical work in my analytical brain, thinking about scenarios and worst case scenario, and you know, you can exhaust yourself going through all of those cases. I probably had the idea for Daily Modern Living, I think, about 8 years now. And the pandemic really was like a call to arms for me, because I saw this crisis and I thought, what can I do? How can I be of service? And food being my language of love, I said, I'll start with recipes. You know, I don't have a photo styling studio. I don't have recipes on hand, but I cook all the time. And I used to post photos to Facebook 10 years ago, and my friends wanted to see, what are you eating this week? And I didn't realize that it was important until they missed it and said, hey, what's on the menu? You know, so I thought, I can start here and figure it out as I go. It doesn't have to be perfect, but if we can all help each other during this time, that's what matters. And so just putting myself out there and starting to post has given me more courage to share.
Mm. I love that your friends have, because you know, a lot of the time our friends and our networks, they see these treasures within us, or they, you know, they see these ways that we contribute to the world. And just by those simple actions of, hey, you know, post stuff, you know, we want to know what's going on, or, you know, we know that you love cooking and you're an amazing cook. Right. You know, we want to know what you're up to. And that those reminders keeping us accountable and keeping us on track of really, oh yeah, we are good at this.
And also, Amy, writing has always been a passion of mine. And the George Floyd incident really encouraged me to write about racism. And growing up in the South, it was something that you didn't normally talk about outside of your home. But I decided to have the courage to share what was my experience with racism through the lens of a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 13-year-old. And so my perspective of sharing how I feel, like the emotion of a young child tied to these events, really resonated with people and helped them to see this through a different lens. And I was also touched that one of my college classmates asked if she could use my article as the foundation for her sermon on Sunday. So I thought, I wrote one article, but it's touched so many people. And I want to do more of that with my writing, just helping people connect, help them be better versions of themselves by demonstrating my experiences through writing.
And the article you're referencing is Racism Introduced Itself to Me in Kindergarten. And I will share a link to that article in the show notes, because it is such a powerful reflection. And I just reading the comments of, you know, really how impactful your story is to people. I think you also do it in a way of, you know, again, the word demonstrating, of really demonstrating your experience. And so many people in our nation and in our world experience such some similar things, and to be vulnerable and share, especially for people who haven't experienced that, I think it's so important to share those stories. And so we can have compassion and empathy and understand what other people are going through and form an opinion. Is that right or wrong? Right.
And also that it, you know, it impacts more than one person, and that goes for just about anything. A lot of the comments I receive is that my mom was awesome, you know, and she is an awesome mom, but it also took her being very vigilant to follow up and make sure that I got the attention and was treated fairly.
And just to think how many mothers, people, even though they wanted to, and they wanted to stand up for their children, or they wanted to stand up for themselves, did not feel comfortable.
Yeah. And I think a theme that's also running through my work is being seen, which I think is another component of being fully present and mindful. You know, I've always wanted to make sure that other people feel seen, because I know what it's like to feel invisible. Not so much now, but, you know, earlier, like with the incidents that I describe in the article. But when you really see someone and appreciate them and stay in the moment, it's a gift to you and it's a gift to them. Everyone just comes alive and becomes round characters. You know, they're not just the coworker. They're not just the person on the subway. Like we're all round characters.
It's true. And it, you know, that word humanize comes to mind, of just breaking down, you know, these stereotypes and assumptions and things that we, when we are in our heads, are so real. But then when you are able to share stories and connect with people on these deeper levels, it's like, oh, wow, we are all human beings.
Exactly.
And we thrive on other human energy and human interaction.
Everyone wants to be seen. Everyone has gifts.
Everyone has gifts. Everyone wants to be seen. Yes. So you shared a bit about what you're working on now, but is there anything else that you'd like to share in terms of projects you're working on, or maybe even concepts you're thinking about?
So the jewelry is going up in a couple of weeks. And then my next category that I'd like to add are my photography pieces. So the idea there is just to bring joy to people. One thing that's kind of fun as an artist is when you're at an exhibition and people don't know you, they're artists, you get to hear what they think about your work. So I was talking with a woman about one of my photos, and she said, "This is just so peaceful and tranquil." And it was a picture of a little boy sitting near the Bethesda Fountain in Central Park. Mm. I thought, wow, this is how she feels looking at my work. So I just want to share that with people. And then I'm also planning to write more poetry. I love combining poetry with photography, and usually, and even with my Instagram posts, it's the story behind the picture. It's like, what made me stop and take that photo? What does that mean? So I'll do more in that space. And then the last thing, Amy, that I've been working on is a separate project, my nonprofit called the Gladys Love Project. And it also came out of my caregiving with my dad, but I noticed that my grandmother loved jewelry. So I made her jewelry out of simple, you know, faceted plastic beads, but she absolutely loved it and felt beautiful. So now the Gladys Love Project has the mission of reminding seniors and caregivers that they're seen, beautiful, and loved. Again, these are two populations that I feel like aren't seen. The pandemic has brought it more to light, but we really need to embrace our seniors and appreciate our caregivers. So we've been working to create postcards with love notes and combine that with care packages for seniors and the staff. And we've completed the first project. So I'm looking to do more between Girl Scouts or different groups of volunteer to decorate and also finding facilities to receive that.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you too for that reminder. And I think everyone, people on the front lines and caregivers and elderly, especially during this time of being disconnected and isolated in the world. So thank you so much for the work you're doing. It's so important, especially now.
My pleasure.
How can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Daily Modern Living or on the website, dailymodernliving.com, or at Gladys Love Project on Instagram and also gladysloveproject.com.
And what is one action our listeners can take today to be more content and fulfilled when it comes to their daily lifestyle or daily routine?
Sure. I think the one thing you could do is write down three things you're grateful for each day. It's commonly called a gratitude journal. But if you just write down the things just today that you're thankful for, it keeps you in the present. So if you're worrying about toilet paper or getting a vaccine or, you know, any of the other items that are floating around in our heads, coming back to that reminds you that today, right now, I have things to be grateful for. And even, you know, there's a lot of death, there's a lot of grieving. If you're suffering with that right now, you know, maybe that day you're grateful for the person who called or the person who dropped off a meal. So there are still things to be grateful for. Also, I love to recommend bookending your day. So if you start with 10 minutes of meditation or sitting on the yoga mat, and then at the end of the day, writing down those three things that you're grateful for, then you started and ended your day and you start to ground yourself by doing so.
Mm. And thank you for that reminder, because there are so many things to be thankful for, even just the air we're breathing. Right. And so it's just that perspective shift, because it is very easy for us as humans to really hone in and dwell on the negative. And so just that reminder to pull yourself out and remember what we have, even if we feel like we don't have much.
Right. Right.
I appreciate you so much for joining us today. Continue all of the work you're doing and sharing your story, because it's incredible. I can't wait to see your jewelry and continue the conversation.
Wonderful. Thank you,
Amy. Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, Kim. Kim reminds us to be mindful and thoughtful in our daily interactions, because every action we take contributes to our greater fulfillment, joy, and purpose in life. She shares with us that everyone has gifts and that everyone wants to be seen. So let's allow ourselves to see people fully. Let's start writing down three things each day that we are grateful for and continue to search for what really brings us deep purpose, so that we can live a happy life and demonstrate our true gifts to bring even more joy to the world. Who's with me? Let's go.